University of Cambridge International Examinations. International General Certificate of Secondary Education. June Examination Session 2011. English as a Second Language. Extended Tier. Listening Comprehension. Welcome to the exam. In a moment, your teacher is going to give out the question papers. When you get your paper, fill in your name, centre number and candidate number on the front page. Do not talk to anyone during the test. If you would like the recording to be louder or quieter, tell your teacher now. The recording will not be stopped while you are doing the test. Teacher, please give out the question papers, and when all the candidates are ready to start the test, please turn the recording back on. Now you are all ready, here is the test. Look at questions 1 to 6. For each question, you will hear the situation described as it is on your exam paper. You will hear each item twice. Questions 1 to 6. For questions 1 to 6, you will hear a series of short sentences. Answer each question on the line provided. Your answers should be as brief as possible. You will hear each item twice. Question 1. Why are the train journeys taking longer today?
A return ticket to Martinstown, please.
All mainline trains are using a different route today. We've got ice on the line here in our area.
Will it take me longer to get there?
Allow at least an extra hour for your journey time today.
A return ticket to Martinstown, please.
All mainline trains are using a different route today. We've got ice on the line here in our area.
Will it take me longer to get there?
Allow at least an extra hour for your journey time today.
Question 2. Why hasn't Zeb done his homework on time? Give 2 details.
Zeb, where's your homework, please?
I'm sorry, Mrs. Ranzani. I haven't had time to complete it because I had band practice straight after school yesterday and the concert all evening.
OK, Zeb. I accept your excuse. Zeb, where's your homework, please?
I'm sorry, Mrs. Ranzani. I haven't had time to complete it because I had band practice straight after school yesterday and the concert all evening.
OK, Zeb. I accept your excuse.
Question 3. Which delivery service is chosen and why?
Good morning. This parcel needs to arrive tomorrow. It's my friend's birthday.
OK, you can use next day delivery. That will cost £4.70 and will arrive tomorrow.
The trouble is, I think he'll be out for most of the day.
We can offer you express delivery. It costs £6.40 and is guaranteed to arrive before 8 a.m.
Good. I'll take that one. Then the parcel will arrive before he goes out. Good morning. This parcel needs to arrive tomorrow. It's my friend's birthday.
OK, you can use next day delivery. That will cost £4.70 and will arrive tomorrow.
The trouble is, I think he'll be out for most of the day.
We can offer you express delivery. It costs £6.40 and is guaranteed to arrive before 8 a.m.
Good. I'll take that one. Then the parcel will arrive before he goes out.
Question 4. Why does the speaker wish to change the dental appointment?
Hello, is that Mr. Peters? I have an appointment for a dental check-up with you tomorrow, but I have to stay late at school.
OK, I can see you early in the day. Be here for 8 a.m.
Hello, is that Mr. Peters? I have an appointment for a dental check-up with you tomorrow, but I have to stay late at school.
OK, I can see you early in the day. Be here for 8 a.m.
Question 5. What makes the ticket offer a good deal?
Hello, Alessandra. I have 15 tickets to that new show in the Town Theatre for Tuesday night's 7 p.m. performance. Would you like to come?
I can't go on Tuesday, but I know my sister would like to go. How much is each ticket?
£10 originally, but I negotiated a group discount of 10%, so £9.
Hello, Alessandra. I have 15 tickets to that new show in the Town Theatre for Tuesday night's 7 p.m. performance. Would you like to come?
I can't go on Tuesday, but I know my sister would like to go. How much is each ticket?
£10 originally, but I negotiated a group discount of 10%, so £9.
Question 6. Which two immediate solutions are mentioned?
Mum, the computer isn't working and it's the weekend. The repair shop will be shut.
You'll have to write your homework by hand instead then. We'll take the computer to the repairers when the shop is open next week.
But Mum, I know my friend Andreu can mend computers. I'll phone him and ask him to come and have a look at it straight away. Mum, the computer isn't working and it's the weekend. The repair shop will be shut.
You'll have to write your homework by hand instead then. We'll take the computer to the repairers when the shop is open next week.
But Mum, I know my friend Andreu can mend computers. I'll phone him and ask him to come and have a look at it straight away.
That is the last of questions 1 to 6. In a moment, you will hear question 7. Now look at the questions for this part of the exam. Question 7. Listen to the following interview with an orchard keeper and then complete the details below. You will hear the interview twice.
Good evening and welcome to our careers series. Tonight, Corn Zhang is here in the studio to discuss with us his working life. Corn, please tell us about your job.
Thank you. I have a wonderful job. I'm out in the open air, helping to look after nature and people all at once.
That sounds very fulfilling. What is your job then?
I look after orchards. You know, fields and fields of trees, specially planted for their fruit.
All sorts of fruit trees?
Yes, and also nut trees.
OK, so you look after trees. Are you responsible for seeing the fruit through to harvest until it's sold and eaten?
Yes, but my role doesn't stop there. Think of all the wildlife which depends on trees. Bats, owls, beetles, all sorts of insects.
What about bees?
Yes, of course. There are beehives in most of the orchards where I work. Bees help to pollinate the trees and produce wonderful honey. Bees are actually under threat of extinction at the moment, so beekeeping is a really worthwhile activity.
And are there any other animals involved in your job?
Yes, we keep pigs in orchards too. They eat up fallen acorns for us. Often ducks and other wild birds also set up home there on the ponds and streams.
Any more?
The floor has carpets of mushrooms, toadstools and other fungi. Wild grass snakes live there. Every part of the orchard is used by nature.
I've never heard of orchard keeping as a job. I assumed the orchards looked after themselves until fruit picking time.
Oh no, it's not that simple.
So, how did you get the job?
Well, I'm from Malaysia. I did a degree in ecology, then worked for a while as an assistant to get some fieldwork experience.
And after that?
Then I answered an advertisement for a 2-year post. It was to work on orchard preservation and development and funded by a wildlife trust. And here I am.
Is your job very lonely? Just you and the trees?
No. Part of my role is to develop and plant what we call community orchards, where the whole area is involved and receives the benefits of the fruit.
There is one here in the local village.
When setting up a new orchard, I show people how to plant and care for new trees. Then, when the funds which pay for my job come to an end, local people will be able to maintain their own orchards as a result of my support.
Thank you, and good luck with all your projects.
Now you will hear the interview again.
Good evening and welcome to our careers series. Tonight, Corn Zhang is here in the studio to discuss with us his working life. Corn, please tell us about your job.
Thank you. I have a wonderful job. I'm out in the open air, helping to look after nature and people all at once.
That sounds very fulfilling. What is your job then?
I look after orchards. You know, fields and fields of trees, specially planted for their fruit.
All sorts of fruit trees?
Yes, and also nut trees.
Okay, so you look after trees. Are you responsible for seeing the fruit through to harvest until it's sold and eaten?
Yes, but my role doesn't stop there. Think of all the wildlife which depends on trees. Bats, owls, beetles, all sorts of insects.
What about bees?
Yes, of course. There are beehives in most of the orchards where I work. Bees help to pollinate the trees and produce wonderful honey. Bees are actually under threat of extinction at the moment, so beekeeping is a really worthwhile activity.
And are there any other animals involved in your job?
Yes, we keep pigs in orchards too. They eat up fallen acorns for us. Often ducks and other wild birds also set up home there on the ponds and streams.
Any more?
The floor has carpets of mushrooms, toadstools and other fungi. Wild grass snakes live there. Every part of the orchard is used by nature.
I've never heard of orchard keeping as a job. I assumed the orchards looked after themselves until fruit picking time.
Oh no, it's not that simple.
So, how did you get the job?
Well, I'm from Malaysia. I did a degree in ecology, then worked for a while as an assistant to get some fieldwork experience.
And after that?
Then I answered an advertisement for a 2-year post. It was to work on orchard preservation and development and funded by a wildlife trust. And here I am.
Is your job very lonely? Just you and the trees?
No. Part of my role is to develop and plant what we call community orchards, where the whole area is involved and receives the benefits of the fruit.
There is one here in the local village.
When setting up a new orchard, I show people how to plant and care for new trees. Then, when the funds which pay for my job come to an end, local people will be able to maintain their own orchards as a result of my support.
Thank you, and good luck with all your projects.
That is the end of question 7. In a moment, you will hear question 8. Now look at the questions for this part of the exam. Question 8. Listen to the following interview with the inventor of a record-breaking car powered by steam, and then complete the following details. You will hear the interview twice.
Hello, and welcome to Sports Weekly. Today, Charles Burnett is going to tell us about his unusual speed record-breaking car.
Thank you. Yes, my car broke the land speed record for steam-powered cars. The record was set in 1906. My car is unusual because it doesn't run on petrol. It's powered by steam.
Do you mean it runs like an old-fashioned train?
Yes. The car is 8 metres long and weighs 3 tonnes. It runs like a kettle on wheels.
Is it made of metal?
Yes. The body of the car is made of a steel frame which is covered with sheets of blended carbon and aluminium.
And how is it powered?
By 12 boilers and nearly 3 kilometres of tubing to connect everything together.
Are you an engineer?
No, I'm a businessman and a driver. I had the original idea and I recruited a team of engineers to build the steam car for me to drive and break the record.
Tell us how you broke the land speed record.
A driver called Fred Marriott set the previous record of 204 kilometres per hour. To beat that, we had to finish 2 runs in the car in opposite directions, less than an hour apart, just as Fred had done in 1906.
And how is the record worked out?
The average of the two speeds goes towards achieving the record, which then has to be recognised by the International Federation of Automobiles.
Where were you able to drive so fast? On a beach somewhere, perhaps?
For practice sessions, we did use beaches, but the winning record attempt was in a desert in California. We had had a previous try at the record, but sand had got in the engine.
So how fast did you go in the end?
On the first run, the speed was just over 219 kilometres per hour. And on the return run, it reached more than 243 kilometres per hour. Our new record is the average speed of the 2 runs, 231 kilometres per hour.
Were you nervous?
I was, a little. But the car handled beautifully, and I'm used to driving our steam car.
What would you say was the secret of your success?
My crew, of course. Good engineers, good teamwork, and much perseverance.
Is the car still in one piece?
Oh, yes. It's famous, and we're touring the world with it. We use it to raise money for charities by exhibiting it. Eventually, it will come to rest in a museum for old and famous cars.
Thank you. We'll look out for you and the car.
Now you will hear the interview again.
Hello, and welcome to Sports Weekly. Today, Charles Burnett is going to tell us about his unusual speed record-breaking car.
Thank you. Yes, my car broke the land speed record for steam-powered cars. The record was set in 1906. My car is unusual because it doesn't run on petrol. It's powered by steam.
Do you mean it runs like an old-fashioned train?
Yes. The car is 8 metres long and weighs 3 tonnes. It runs like a kettle on wheels.
Is it made of metal?
Yes. The body of the car is made of a steel frame which is covered with sheets of blended carbon and aluminium.
Hmm. And how is it powered?
By 12 boilers and nearly 3 kilometres of tubing to connect everything together.
Are you an engineer?
No, I'm a businessman and a driver. I had the original idea and I recruited a team of engineers to build the steam car for me to drive and break the record.
Tell us how you broke the land speed record.
A driver called Fred Marriott set the previous record of 204 kilometres per hour. To beat that, we had to finish 2 runs in the car in opposite directions, less than an hour apart, just as Fred had done in 1906.
And how is the record worked out?
The average of the 2 speeds goes towards achieving the record, which then has to be recognised by the International Federation of Automobiles.
Hmm. Where were you able to drive so fast? On a beach somewhere, perhaps?
For practice sessions, we did use beaches, but the winning record attempt was in a desert in California. We had had a previous try at the record, but sand had got in the engine.
So, how fast did you go in the end?
On the first run, the speed was just over 219 kilometres per hour, and on the return run, it reached more than 243 kilometres per hour. Our new record is the average speed of the 2 runs, 231 kilometres per hour.
Were you nervous?
I was, a little. But the car handled beautifully, and I'm used to driving our steam car.
What would you say was the secret of your success?
My crew, of course. Good engineers, good teamwork, and much perseverance.
Is the car still in one piece?
Oh, yes. It's famous, and we're touring the world with it. We use it to raise money for charities by exhibiting it. Eventually, it will come to rest in a museum for old and famous cars.
Thank you. We'll look out for you and the car.
That is the end of question 8. In a moment, you will hear question 9. Now look at the questions for this part of the exam.
Part 2. Page 62.
You will hear a radio discussion about compulsive shopping. For questions 9 to 18, complete the sentences.
Some people admit to being shopaholics, that is, addicted to shopping. Professor James Donnelly, a leading psychologist, is here in the studio to talk about compulsive shopping. Isn't shopping just a bit of harmless fun?
That depends. To many of us, shopping is a functional activity. We do it because we have to. Then there are people who genuinely enjoy the shopping experience. For a minority of those, compulsive shopping is a very real problem, which can result in depression and financial problems. I've even seen extreme cases where families split up and, in the end, the shopaholic has been hospitalised.
Just who are the real shopaholics?
Well, the typical compulsive shopper is female. According to a recent survey, as many as 20% of women may be shopaholics, or at least have shown symptoms of this disorder. Compulsive shoppers are certainly not as obvious as compulsive drinkers or compulsive eaters. In fact, they're often skilled at concealing their problem, even from members of the family. Many refuse to recognise that they have a problem at all. Yet they can go out shopping and get through large amounts of money, like £700, in one go.
How then does a person know if she has a serious problem?
Well, there are several symptoms. Having one of them doesn't necessarily mean that you are a shopaholic, but if you recognise 2 or 3, you might need some help.
And what are these symptoms?
Well, typical of compulsive shoppers is the feeling of great excitement when they're out shopping. However, this disappears when they get home and is replaced by strong feelings of guilt. Also, when most people have been out shopping, they like to show off what they've bought. This is not the case with compulsive shoppers. They feel afraid and embarrassed even to mention the fact that they've been shopping.
So, for example, a woman who is a shopaholic won't wear a dress she's bought?
Very often not. She'd prefer to keep the purchases hidden in the wardrobe so that nobody can see them. When she finally does put a new dress on and is asked about it, she'll make an excuse like, "Oh, it's old, I've worn it several times." In addition,